ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, of all pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam here in Mahaprabhu Mandir, Melbourne, Australia. It is the 30th of October, 2019. Canto 4, the creation of the fourth order, chapter 25, the characteristics of King Paranjan. Today's text, number 30.
Yateshamapanga vikanditendriyam Yateshamapanga vikanditendriyam Sabrida bhava smita vibrama bhuva Sabrida bhava smita vibrama bhuva Tvayopa srishto bhagavan mano bhagavan Vayopa srishto bhagavan mano bhava
Vayopa srishto bhagavan mano bhava
Prabhadate tami brahana shopane
Prabhadate
tami brahana shopane Yadesha mapanga vikandit indriyam Sabrida bhava smita vibrama bhruva Vayopa srishto bhagavan mano bhava Prabhadate tanu grahana shobhane
Prabhadate tanu grahana shobhane
Word for word, yet, because,
eshaha,
this,
me,
apanga,
by your glances,
vikandita,
agitated.
Indriyam.
Whose senses or mine.
Sabrida.
With shyness.
Bhava.
Affection.
Smita.
Smiling.
Vibhramat.
Bewildering.
Bruva.
With eyebrows.
Tvaya,
by you.
Upasrishtaha,
being influenced.
Bhagavan,
the most powerful.
Manabhava,
Cupid.
Prabhadate,
is harassing.
Atta,
therefore.
Anugrahana,
be merciful.
Shobhane.
Oh, very beautiful one. This is King Paranjan, who of course is an allegorical character. Narada Muni is telling a story. This is not history. King Paranjan is continuing to, as we say, chat up or flatter. Flatter the woman, the beautiful woman. Translation, certainly your glancing upon me today has very much agitated my mind. Your smile Your smile, which is full of shyness, but at the same time lusty, is agitating the most powerful Cupid within me. Therefore, O most beautiful, I ask you to be merciful upon me. Please repeat, certainly you're glancing upon me today. Has very much agitated my mind. Your smile, which is full of shyness, but at the same time lusty, is agitating the most powerful Cupid within me. Therefore, O most beautiful, I ask you to be merciful upon me. This is not really mercy, but this is what he's meaning by mercy. We'll talk about that later. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Everyone has lusty desires within. And as soon as one is agitated by the movement of a beautiful woman's eyebrows, the Cupid within immediately throws his arrow at the heart. Thus, one is quickly conquered by the eyebrows of a beautiful woman. When one is agitated by lusty desires, his senses are attracted by all kinds of vishaya, enjoyable things like sound, touch, form, smell, and taste. These attractive sense objects oblige one to come under the control of a woman, or if you're a woman, a man. In this way, the conditioned life of a living entity begins. Conditional life means being under the control of a woman. And certainly the living entity is always at the mercy of a woman or a man, Prabhupada adds. Thus, living entities live in bondage to one another. And thus they continue this conditional material life illusioned by Maya. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is kindly opening my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. I like to title verses that I'm preparing for class. So I call this class Poor Paranjan. So raise your hand if you can tell us what Paranjan means. You know? You're close. You're getting warm.
A conditioned entity.
Yes, but literally, how does translate? Remember how Prabhupada translated? One who wants to try to enjoy in the body, in this body. Which is a losing proposition, guaranteed. As the older we get, the more we see that the payoff gets less and less. Right? Therefore, what does Krishna say in the fifth chapter of the Gita? Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dhukkayo naya evate adyantavanta konteya nateshu ramate buddha. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, dukkha yoni, the womb of misery, which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end. Adhyantava, adi ananta. And so the wise man does not delight in them. And that's a great secret of life which modern society has no clue about, because modern society in all of its advertisements is designed, is inducing us, encouraging us to mate, to join the senses with the sense objects. That's the whole, you know, all these ads, right? You're in control. You're in the driver's seat. It's yours to enjoy. They know. The ad men know them in the psychology of the public, that this is what everybody wants. Of course, the joke's on them too, because they're just like everybody else. So what's the big picture here? What's the context? You folks not long ago had the pleasure of studying Canto 4, Chapter 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, which is one of my favorite chapters, because King Prachinibardhi
has sent his 10 sons, the Haryashas, no, Prachetas. Prachetas, of course. To pass because he wants them to become fit, qualified to take over the kingdom. What a contrast to today. Leaders, they don't go to do tapas. Rather, they position themselves. They connive. And they just play the game so they can get in the right position to be the premier or the president or what have you. But in days of yore, as Prabhupada talked about Vedic times, when people would be in line for the throne, they'd have to go off and do some austerity so they'd be fit. They'd have controlled senses. Whoops. Is that right? Anybody know how to fix this? Maybe that's just the way it is. Oop. Me and microphones don't get along that well. They're always flopping. Bhakta Mike. Come on, Bhakta Mike. You can do it. All right, look at this. Only an IT guy would know how to do that. The Indian engineer is always saying, sorry. Okay. I notice you don't have to eat this mic to be heard, which is good. I can be a lot of mics you have to like practically eat it. But here it's good mic. Okay, so in chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, King Barhishad had sent his sons out to do tapas, and by the will of providence, they met the topmost Vaishnava, Lord Shiva. And so in chapter 24, roughly text 30 through 70, something like that, Lord Shiva, he just glorifies the Supreme Lord. And it's so wonderful that they commit everything he said to memory. They could do that in those days. And then later on, they went underwater to do tapas, because they knew the mystic art. They were mystics. And then they... Maybe that's not confirmation. Did I say something wrong, Mike? Anyway, what to do? Okay, you stay there. So then Lord Vishnu, he came underwater. Remember the picture? Submarine darshan. Vishnu's on the back of Garuda, and he's giving him their darshan, his darshan. And we're going to look at this in Lesson 8 of the Founder Acharya series. That'll be, it'll be Saturday, November 9th. We're going to have to double up two lessons in a row to accommodate the fundraiser for the kitchen on Saturday evening, November 9th. So in Lesson 8, we're going to see at the end of the lesson how we get the blessings of the Lord. He's so pleased when we are friendly and cooperate. And I'm so happy to hear that it's so harmonious here. This is what Jai Raman Prabhu, where are you? No, oh, there you are. He's telling me how harmonious it is here. That's quite an opulence. Because in the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, it's actually not common to find harmony and cooperation. And that's the way you get the mercy of the Lord. So Barhishat has sent them away, they're meeting Lord Shiva. But in the meantime, the irony is... Okay, Mike. Mike's on strike. The irony is that Barhishat in the kingdom, what's he doing? Raise your hand. He's doing fruitive activities. You know, it's the old do as I say, not as I do. Right? This is why, you know, in the 1960s, there was a whole generation of us that we just turned our back on all the institutions. The family, the church, the synagogue, the mosque, the school, the career, because everything was corrupt. I mean, it still is, but anyway. It was Krishna's arrangement, a little time window when all of us... Has anybody read The Journey Home by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj? Okay. Well, you know, we were all doing what he did. He just did the best. He hit the road, and he ended up at Prabhupada's lotus feet. hitchhiking all the way to India from Chicago.
Wow.
We were all doing that. And that was created by Krishna. We're going to look at that in lesson 3. A little time window created by Krishna so Prabhupada could jumpstart the Hare Krishna movement all over the world. He gave Prabhupada an audience. Prabhupada didn't have an audience in India. No one cared. After India got its Swaraj, then they all just wanted to copy the West. They weren't about to give Bhaktivedanta Prabhu at the time, one of their sons, to start a Hare Krishna movement. No. So Prabhupada, he tried to start. He even tried to enlist Gandhi, right, to start the movement. But Gandhi got assassinated. And even in Gandhi's death, we're going to see how Prabhupada tried to use Gandhi's name to jumpstart the Hare Krishna movement. Nobody cared. They just... All right, what are we going to do? This guy's fired. He's officially fired. maybe we could just take it out. Yeah, why don't I just take it out? This is what I do during the seminar. I don't use a mic stand. I just... Okay, So Barishat, he's sent his sons off to do tapas. Meanwhile, he's doing karmakanda stuff, which is not going to get you anywhere. Right? Try vidyamam somapa putta papa in the 9th chapter of the Gita. Krishna says, by doing this kind of stuff, you just go up and down, and you go round and round in the Ferris wheel of birth and death. You don't reach the ultimate goal of life. You just, everything you do is defeated by Father Time. Kalos me, destroyer of the world. Okay, so Narada Muni, he really has mercy. He really has kripa. Not the false kind of mercy that Paranjan is begging from the intelligence and from the lusty lady. He's really merciful. He wants to save King Barishat, Parchini Barishat. And it's amazing because from chapters 25 to 28, he recites this whole allegory, this whole story he makes up, where Paranjan is actually Parchini Barhi, right? Paranjan is Parchini Barhi, but Narada Muni knows this fellow is too attached. If I just give him the sauce, if I give him the straight stuff, he won't be able to hear it. So he's got to hear it indirectly, right? As Prabhupada told us, you know, in India, the way the mother-in-law instructs the daughter-in-law is by teaching the daughter. It's all indirect. Now, is that still true? They do that? Do they do that in India? Or is Bollywood taking everything away? What to do? Yeah. So that's how Krishna teaches us. He takes the devotees and he puts them through so much, whether it's Brahma or the Pandavas, I mean, you name it. Or Lord Ram himself, you know, is put through so, he undergoes so much heartache and tribulation just to show us where this world is at. Okay, so Narada Muni, he starts telling this story. And today's verse is very telling because Paranjan, he's just flattering. He's just flattering this lady. Certainly your glancing upon me today has very much agitated my mind. Now he's being very direct now. He's not being so subtle anymore. Your smile, Your smile, which is full of shyness, but at the same time lusty, is agitating the most powerful Cupid within me. Prabhupada used that term a lot, Cupid. It's an English word. But it's lust personified, right? Accommodate. Now, who knows? Raise your hand if you can tell us where in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna talks very, he gets real granular and analytical about lust. Where is that? Third chapter. Very good. Boy, you people are really tuned up. I like it. And how did the whole part of the 3rd chapter start? What did Arjuna say? Oh, descendant of Rishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? And what does Krishna say?
It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath. Now why does anger follow lust?
Because if lust is not fulfilled, then...
Yeah, and lust is never fulfilled. That's the point. Sometimes Prabhupada would define a material desire like this. He would say, a material desire is a desire that can never be fulfilled. So why do we chase it? Because Buddha, because I'm dumb. I keep doing it again and again. The year is 1974. It's the place of Chicago, Illinois. And we're all in Chicago because Srila Prabhupada has come to celebrate the first Chicago Rath Yatra. This is the first Rath Yatra we had after San Francisco. The first one was San Francisco in the West. And Prabhupada is there. And our temple president has a personal darshan with Prabhupada. And he asks a very interesting question. Srila Prabhupada, what is sense gratification? Is it an illusion? Is it a figment of my imagination? I mean, it seems real. What is sense gratification? So Srila Prabhupada said, sense gratification is real because it comes from Krishna. We're not Mayavadis. Everything comes from the supreme real. And then, but Prabhupada qualified it. It comes from Krishna, but it is... And then as Prabhupada said the last word, he spanned his fingers like this, and then as he said the whole world, his fingers began to close. Sense gratification is real because it comes from Krishna, but it is restricted. And by the time he said the D in restricted, you could barely see his face between his fingers. It's like a drop of water in the desert. We're part of parcel of Krishna. We want unlimited pleasure. Because that's Krishna, Satchidananda, Vigraha, form. So we always want to be happy. We're not satisfied with a drop of water in the desert.
Anando abhyasat. Anando abhyasat.
Ananda vayobhyasat. Right. The absolute truth is full of pleasure. Yeah. So we don't want that. But that's what it is. That's what it is. So why, I mean, because we're here in the material world, we are certified buddhas, but because we're in Mahaprabhu Mandir, we get it now. We understand, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, that we shouldn't be chasing that anymore. And therefore, especially when Prabhupada started the Hare Krishna movement, what was the preaching? Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure. You want to always be happy? Stay high forever. Chant Hare Krishna. No more come downs. This is called time place preaching. Prabhupada knew that those first people in the storefront at 26 Second Avenue in 1966, he knew they were chanting to get high. That was the motive. But he didn't discourage that, because what does Sukadev say? Sukadev Goswami. Akama. Whatever your desire is, tivrena bhakti yogena. If you really, in this case, chant Hare Krishna tivrena with intensity, yajeta purusham param, you'll get the desired result. So they were chanting. If you hear those early tapes, do you hear the tapes sometimes? 1966, Swamiji's leading them on in kirtan. You should hear it. It's not enough to become students of Prabhupada's books. You have to become students of Prabhupada's spoken word too, because they complement one another. You notice, like, Sri Krishna Prabhu and I went to Melbourne Botanical Gardens yesterday, and we didn't know where Prabhupada walked, but we walked out of the pond because I knew that Prabhupada liked to walk by lakes. So, my train of thought. Anyway, so Prabhupada, he was leading the people in chanting. And you hear those recordings, and they're just trying to follow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I mean, it's just, Prabhupada called it a spiritual kindergarten. He was just teaching them how to chant the Maha Mantra. And they were tasting something by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. It was by his mercy they were tasting something. And then, like after several weeks, one of them, he was an English professor, Howard. Swamiji, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 6 weeks and I still haven't seen the universal form. That was his motive. Because, you know, when you dropped LSD, it was all kinds of colors, and, you know, that was, he wanted the ultimate high. Because Swamiji was saying, you don't have to come down. Yeah? So I still haven't seen the universal form. Right? And that's right in the Gita. Aneka vakram daradanta. There's so many thousands of forms and colors, and that's in the universal form. But, how did Swamiji reply? Prabhupada knew exactly. The reason Prabhupada knew how to answer people was because he didn't just answer the content of the question, he answered the intent of the questioner. He knew the consciousness. He knew the motives. Or as you hear the devotees say on the DVDs, he could read my mind. Yeah, he could do that. So I still haven't seen the universal form. So Swamiji said, that's all right, you keep chanting. Keep chanting. He knew it would go away. You know, these motives and these LSD flash visions, and keep chanting. Yeah. So Narada Muni similarly is very merciful to Bhartishat by telling this whole allegory. And okay, so the woman in the story as lusty. Oh, we're back in the third chapter. We want to finish this. Okay, so then Krishna, he expostulates. He gives a whole nice analysis here. It's really good. Famous verses: as fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this loss. So, embryo covered by the womb is compared to different, right, embodiments. So, in the human form, it's more like a mirror covered by dust, because just blow that dust away and you'll see yourself. You'll have self-realization and then God-realization ultimately. Text 39. Thus, the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So all the advertisements are telling us that we just need more. Right? But that's completely the wrong direction. It's never satisfied.
You go to psychiatrist, he says more sex.
Psychiatrist. Yeah. Yeah. And you see it on the faces, especially, you know, when you're in the supermarket. I don't know about in Australia, but in America, in the supermarkets, as you're checking out, then they have the, you know, the gossip papers about what the movie stars are doing. And they're the least happy people, because they've made it, so-called made it. They've got all the fame, and they've got all the fortune, and the looks. And they're completely miserable, because they're still not happy. So they become suicidal. What to do? You know, I can't, it doesn't, none of this is satisfying me. Now, Krishna, he's identified the problem is lust, but Krishna never leaves us just with the problem, he gives a solution. He's very kind. Now, he identifies where the lust is. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Because the material energy is designed to bewilder us, and it's more powerful than us, maya yakshena. It's under Krishna's control. But it appears that we can manipulate it, just like somebody took material elements and they made this microphone, right? And I'm living in this body, like Puranjan, and it appears that I can
try to enjoy it, right? The senses. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The enjoyment always goes sour. If we get old and we haven't pursued inner life, life within, happiness within, where Krishna is and the soul is, then we just become old, burnt out shells and nothing is fun anymore and we just become very bitter. So, now here's a question. Well, first I'll read part of the verse. So here, Arjuna has, Krishna has identified where lust is, the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. So, if that's where the enemy lives, if the enemy has captured these strategic places in the body, to defeat the enemy, what's the wisest place to attack first? The senses, the mind, or the intelligence? Raise your hand if you think it's the senses. Mataji raises her hand. Okay, Prabhuji raises his hand. Mataji. But would it be wise to first attack the mind? Raise your hand if you think it's the mind. Okay, we have one taker on mind. Everybody else is hanging back, right? You're abstaining. Because we don't want to appear foolish, do we? We don't want to be wrong. How about the intelligence? Is that where we should attack first? Okay, we got more takers. We got the majority with intelligence. Let's see what Krishna says. Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by
regulating
the senses. It's the senses. Why is it the senses? Why do you attack the senses first?
Because the subtlest of the
No, the subtlest is...
The subtlest of
like when you sleep, senses.
Yeah, but why should we go to them first? Well, I don't want to attack a venomous snake. That sounds dangerous.
Because they attach us to the modes of material nature.
They're what?
They attach us to the material mode of nature, and then that whatever comes through the senses, that's what the mind goes in inside. So we have to stop downloading matter in ourselves.
Yeah. So, but the senses, the mind, and the intelligence, they're all under the modes of material nature. So why the senses first? Still answer the question.
Indriyani.
Yeah, but why? Why should we attack the senses first?
They are the first line.
Because they're the grossest. They're the grossest. Mind is trickier. Intelligence is still trickier. False ego is the trickiest. Yeah, but the foot soldiers, so to speak, in the analogy, are just like we come into the temple, for example, and we pay dandava, right? Now that's not too hard. Oh, Prabhupada, oh, Gurudev, oh, Sisi, Radhabala, I surrender unto you. And then and we bow down with the body. But isn't it a little harder to do it with your mind? The mind is trickier. The mind wants to hide, right? I can bow down with my body, but I'm thinking of the movies. Or I'm thinking of surfing on the bay, or, you know, the mind is invisible, right? So, but if we do train our body, you know, just to get up, to go to bed early, so we can rise early and we do all the things, then that helps us, because just like Prabhupada told a godbrother of mine, Garga Muni, Prabhupada called him Garga Money, because he was always very good with money. You know? He was a first treasurer in his company, 26 Second Avenue. So everybody was bowing down, but I guess they weren't initiated yet, so he was still a Greg. So he said, Swamiji, I don't bow down because I don't feel like it. It seems like phony because I don't feel like bowing down. So what is Prabhupada reply? Yes, if you bow down, if you actually bow down, then you will feel like it. And then Prabhupada would give the example of a child learning how to walk, right? An introduction to nectar devotion. Because the human child actually has the potential, the capacity to walk. He just has to practice. Does anybody have a 1-year-old? in the room? Anybody training their child to walk? Well, anyway, we remember what it's like, right?
Sure. Or, we all remember.
We all remember.
I remember because my daughter didn't crawl, she just stood up and walked.
That's pretty good. So, are we seeing the picture perhaps in Butler, Pennsylvania? Prabhupada's first hosts were the Agarwals in Butler, and there's a picture of Prabhupada with Bridge Agarwal. And Prabhupada's eyes are popping out of his head because he's helping Bridge stand for the first time. So that capacity, it's within us to surrender to Krishna, because Jivera Sarupoi Krishna Nitya Das, that's who we are. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kavunoi Shravanari Shuddha Chitti Kori Yudoi. What's the translation? Nitya Siddha, pure Krishna consciousness is eternally established in the heart of the living entity. It is not to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, pure love for Krishna naturally awakens. It's not that it's, like Prabhupada would say in the record, it's not an artificial imposition on the mind. Sadhya Kavanoi, yeah. Shravana, we just have to shravana, we just have to hear. So it's all about first the senses, and then Krishna does give the hierarchy. The working senses are superior to dull matter, mind is higher than the senses, intelligence is still higher than the mind, and he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. And then, Krishna always ends a chapter with I call it a roundhouse punch. A big blockbuster verse. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, O mighty Arjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness, and thus by spiritual strength conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. So we don't do that on our own, we do it by accepting the mercy of Guru Krishna. That's how we do it. So, you know, Narada Muni, you're in chapter 25 now, but he's going to tell this allegory for 25, 26, 27, and still, after 27, what does Barhishad say, do you know? You know, I still don't understand. I mean, after this threadbare allegory, it's so clear that Paranjan is Barhishad, and all these other things go in the city of nine gates and the whole thing, and he's just going to rot in his kingdom if he doesn't take up God realization. It's so clear, but it's still not clear to him. Why is it not clear to us even after we hear Bhaktivedanta purports every day, day after day after day? Why am I still falling asleep during japa? Why am I still lusty, angry, greedy after almost 50 years of practicing Krishna consciousness? What's going on here? Why is that? Why don't we get it? Because we have free will.
Yeah.
And we can hang on to our misconceptions and our material desires as long as we want to. Krishna won't interfere with that.
So never changes his spots, basically.
But there is a way out of that. There is a way out of that. So we hear, but we're continually filtering what we hear through our material desires. That's why Prabhupada, you hear him say in the recordings, try to understand, and then he says, you know what he says? You might hear him say this, try not to misunderstand. Because that's what we do. We really want to somehow make Guru Krishna part of our dream. Right? I'm dreaming, I'm this body, I'm dreaming this world is meant for me. We say in America, this land is your land, this land is my land, this land is made for you and me. But it's wrong. It's created by Krishna. I didn't make it, I can't keep it. I come to this world empty-handed, I leave it, I can't take anything with me. So we tend to filter everything through this desire filter. And That's what prevents us actually from getting it. But that's so when we suffer because of that, that's mercy. That's mercy. That's Maya reminding us that you're an idiot, and if you just keep trying to enjoy the material world, I'm going to kick you. And as soon as you stop trying to enjoy the material world and serve Krishna, I will congratulate you. I'll be embarrassed. I'll go behind. Prabhupada once told us, Maya's job is to make sure that no riffraff get back to Godhead. Yeah, we can't barge into the kingdom of God. We've got to be totally pure. Krishna has to be able to trust us that we're going to serve him and not just create a big disturbance. Right? Okay, so let's see here. So, anugrahana, Puranjan saying, be merciful. Narada Muni is really being merciful. But Puranjan, he's begging the lady, Lusty Intelligence, to become his partner and to enjoy the material world. And that's not really mercy. Sometimes Prabhupada would joke. People would come up to him, you know, especially when he was in India. Oh, Swamiji, give me your mercy. Give me your blessings. And Prabhupada would confide to us. He would say, they mean, give me a good wife. You know, let me pass my exams. You know, let me have good name, good body.
Good children.
Yeah, good children. That's what they mean by mercy. But real mercy they don't want. If I said to them, okay, you want my mercy, then join us. Come on, come to the ashram. You know, but you don't want that. Of course, the context there was, in the early days of ISKCON, it was a temple-based movement. In other words, the only way to be a devotee was to live in the temple. That was the only way. Because when Prabhupada came to the West, there was no supportive culture outside the temple. You were either in the temple, trying to be Krishna conscious, or you were in Maya outside the temple. And then, after Prabhupada left and we got older, and we were no longer teenagers or 20-somethings, the next stage of life subtly was kicking in there. So people started to leave the temple and get a job and get married. But the people in the temple couldn't understand. Prabhu, don't go! You're going to fall into Maya! You'll be lost forever! Prabhu, Prabhu! And only the trees echoed in response. But then they come back to the temple. When? What day of the week? Sunday, for the Sunday feast. They come back to get something to eat. Good. And then come for festivals. And suddenly it dawned on the people that were still in the temples, well, I guess there are people. Because when they'd come back to the temple, they'd be shunned. Oh, he knows Krishna, but he's in Maya. So we can't preach to him. Right? So it was kind of strange. And it was almost inevitable it'd be like that because that's how we grew, that's how it started. Prabhupada created these urban communes, and then it's like when you plant a tree, you have to fence it, protect the tree. So Prabhupada created these urban communes and fenced this in with his morning program, and that's how it started. Now it's a congregational movement. Right? Most of the devotees are living and working in the world, and that's good because they can expand. And the ultimate thing we haven't even done yet, Prabhupada wanted rural communities where we have our own cows and we have our own occupations. Even in Mayapur, Prabhupada said we'll have our own currency. He called them Chaitanyas, the coins. We'll have our own currency. So we have yet to show our own complete alternative culture, but we have the beginnings of it. Okay, so anugraha, so mercy. So real mercy is when we accept the teachings of Guru and Krishna. But the materialist sees mercy as an opportunity for sense gratification. That's why Krishna says in Gita 2.69, famous verse, any Gita lawyers here?
Yanisha. Yes, what is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-control, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. Our lifestyle and the materialist lifestyle is literally like night and day. When we're taking rest, that's when everybody's waking up, go to the club. And then when they stagger home from the club, in the wee hours of the morning, we're getting up for Mangal Aarti. Like night and day. The difference between devotees and non-devotees is that the devotees party in the morning. And the non-devotees party at night. It's a party, but the payoff is different. The result of our partying is what is it? Kirtan Ras, Nitya Leela. We enter into Krishna's everlasting party. Okay. Okay, it's getting on close to 9. I'm going to read the verse again. If you had any questions, comments, reflections, please raise your hand. So Paranjan is saying, certainly your glancing upon me today has very much agitated my mind. Your smile, which is full of shyness, but at the same time lusty. That's really tricky, huh? Shy and lusty at the same time. We call it pretty poison. Is agitating the most powerful cupid within me. Therefore, O most beautiful, I ask you to be merciful upon me. I mean, if she was really merciful, she'd be like the prostitute with Vilva Mangala Thakur. Right? Oh, Thakur, if you only love Krishna as much as you're attached to this body, you would be a pure devotee. You would be Mahatma. And that woke up Vilva Mangala. Right? That woke him up. And he no longer went to see Chintamani. Vilva Mangala Thakur in his Krishna Karnamrita cites her as one of his gurus. Yeah. Pata or Vartma Pradarsha the Guru, one who shows the path. Okay, raise your hands. Any questions or comments? Prabhuji, you need this?
Oh, I think it's alright. Speak up. Thank you for the classes. You were mentioning that Maya's job was to make sure that there's no rippa coming into
the spiritual sky, yeah.
Yeah, and I was wondering, because I heard that when we go back to Godhead, then part of the generations past and future go as well for Godhead liberation. Could you explain, like, maybe there's some rippa there?
How do past and future generations get liberated by a pure devotee? Is that the question? Oh, I don't know. I'm not there yet. But Prabhupada did say that. Because sometimes, you know, especially in the first generation of devotees, we're the first generation of Prabhupada's followers. So, I mean, there was such a disconnect between us and our parents, for example. And we would ask Prabhupada, you know, what can we do about our parents, because there was nothing for them to relate what we were doing. They couldn't relate at all. We had already dropped out, most of us, of society. We were the counterculture. And then we dropped out of that, and we were double dropouts, you know, to become Hare Krishnas. So they really couldn't relate. So I know my godbrother Dayananda and Nandarani, his wife, Prabhupada told them, so when you visit your relatives, just be very kind to them. But if they tell you to do something that's going to hurt your spiritual life, just say, you know, like the Indian neck. You folks have this beautiful neck move. You know? You don't know what it is. It could be yes, maybe, as you like. Yeah, right. So Prabhupada said, just say this smile, but if they tell you something that's going to hurt your spiritual life, then don't do it, you know. But don't disturb them. Don't try to preach to them. Like me, I tried to preach to my father for the first 10 years, and he wouldn't speak to me. Because I was trying to preach to him. And it's only after I stopped trying to preach to him that he became favorable. No, this is called zealot, right? Somebody who is a fanatic. And I was just, you know, I didn't realize the psychology. Like, he was still thinking of me like a little league baseball player. That's how he related to me, you know, as his little baseball player. And there I was, you know, a young man now, but... So you can't do that. You can't preach to your father. You can just be... You just be a devotee. You know, just grow up in Krishna consciousness. And then they'll appreciate eventually how you're becoming a better person. And then maybe they'll want to hear what you're doing. You know, and then they take... And then finally when I did that, you know, I did... Well, I finally... I got married after 11 years of being brahmachari. And finally he thought I was normal. I did something normal, right? I got married. And then we had a child, you know, and he loved the child, and he loved prasadam, and he got a subscription to Back to Godhead magazine, because I was writing the Plain Living and High Thinking column from Gita Nagari in the 80s. And so he made a lot of advancement, you know, when I stopped preaching to him. So I don't think I can answer that. Just how it works. But you're asking from the other end, you know, what happens to people, future generations? But that's the power. Like Prahlad Maharaj. Prahladas chaspi daityanam. Among the daitya demons, I am the devoted Prahlad, Krishna says in the Gita in the 10th chapter. So of all those people in that daitya line, that demoniac line, there was this shining, this mahaja, you know. Prahlado janako bhishma. There's this great devotee. So what an effect it has on the whole line, you know, past and future. It purifies. Beyond that, I can't say. But that's the best thing we can do for our karmic line. Just like I'm coming in a karmic line, so maybe you can understand me a little better when I tell you who my great, 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 great... I happen to be the descendant of the person who assassinated the greatest president the United States ever had. Who was that? Lincoln! So he was assassinated by this crazy actor, John Wilkes Booth, who was so furious that Lincoln, that the North had won the war, and that Lincoln had abolished slavery. And so in April 1965, John Wilkes Booth snuck into Ford's Theater, where Lincoln and his wife were watching the play, and right up point blank range, and then he escaped. And they eventually caught up with him in a barn, and they burned the barn, and he burned alive. So anyway, before my dear mother passed away, my mother's maiden name was Kathleen Ann Booth. So before she passed away, she never told us this, but she told one of my brothers. And my brother Johnny said, "Hey, Mom, are we related to John Wilkes Booth?" He just said it, you know, he just crossed his mind. And so my mother got very grave and she said, "I don't like to talk about it, Johnny, but actually, yes." So, when the seminars happen, and if I start doing something strange, just remember I'm a descendant of a crazy actor, and then you can ask questions afterwards. "Prabhu, when you said that, when you did that, did you mean this?" I hope you can come. I know we have limited attendance space in the theater. It's going to start Friday evening, and I know it's registration, and they're trying to cap it at 40 people, but I told Nrikeshwari, is that his name? Yeah. That he could come. So I hope I don't get in trouble with the powers that be, but I'd like as many people to come as possible. It's a great, I call it edutainment. It's education, and it's fun. And we take this journey with Prabhupada. We deepen our relationship with him. It's called Sambandha lessons. And then we do Avideya. We deepen our commitment to his mission. And Prayojana, we deepen our love for Śrīla Prabhupada.
And you're going to be seeing the latest version. I was here in 2013. We did with Russell up in the Prasadam Hall at that time. And but it's so much better now. Prabhupada keeps showing me how to do it better. And he shows me how to boil it down, boil the milk, make it more tight and not so long. And so it's very good. I mean, if I do say so myself, but it's Prabhupada's mercy. Yeah. So please come, and we'll get liberated and liberate our relatives. That's the best thing we can do. We don't really need to do it, even though we do it sometimes, I know, Kanda and Shraddha. The best thing is Gato Mukundam Pararityakartum. We surrender to Krishna, and then we take care of all the other debts and obligations. And Krishna takes care of all the other debts. Okay, so we're almost there, but any other questions or comments? We're going to start in 2 days, so I'm getting geared up. I just came from New Govardhan. We had a good time there. But it's a whole different context here. When, before I start, I always take a vibe check. I always check the situation in the temple and the history of the mandir, because the way I pitch it, it differs from place to place, right? Because everybody's got different issues. Like, I'll tell you, frankly, one of the issues I find when there's a lot of Indian folks in the congregation, it's really hard for the Indian community, and it's ironic because the founder of Acharya came from India, you know, Ramanuja and Madhva. But it's really hard, I notice, for people with Indian karma to understand that the core identity, the foundational relationship, is with the founder, Acharya. And that that our Guru Maharajas and Gurudevs, they're meant to deepen, enhance, and enrich that. And that's why we love them, because they do that. In the 1980s, after Prabhupada left, we'll take a look at this, you know, there was so much confusion. And people were conflating their Diksha Gurus with the founder Acharya. It was wrong. It was terrible. The whole movement was becoming fragmented into Diksha kingdoms. So, anyway, we're going to look at that in Lesson 9. Everything you ever wanted to know about the founder Acharya, but were afraid to ask. Please come. Okay, now it's time for our favorite part of the day, prasadam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.